City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, July 24th. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. And today joining us is City Administrator Keith Hunke.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for being here.
Yeah,
you've been
welcome.
Busy lately.
Yes.
Especially last night's commission meeting.
Oh, wow. Yes. That was,
it was a good one. It wasn't a record.
It was not.
Yeah. Well, you've had longer meetings, mm-hmm. but 4 hours is a long meeting.
Yep.
Yeah. It's you got to give credit to staff and the commissioners to sit there that long and make good decisions.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a long meeting. And because it's a long meeting, and I always want to mention this, when we have that kind of situation here at Dakota Media Access, mm-hmm. we're recording it. It gets on replays on the Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in yep. HD pretty much right away. So we've been replaying that meeting. But it takes a little while for us to load in this meeting and get it all transcoded and ready for online mm-hmm. viewing. So video on demand always takes a little bit longer, especially when you have a four-hour meeting. So just want to mention that for people if they're looking for it online, because there were many issues discussed last night. So I would assume that we've got people that are interested in a variety of reasons. A couple of things on your consent agenda that we wanted to pull off, and this item did not get any discussion. It wasn't pulled off by the commission, and that is introduction and a call for a public hearing on property up in the Highway 83 area. Annexing the Memory Second Edition. So that went through without any discussion.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
And, it appears that we have, a big box developer moving through our development process to place their store here in Bismarck.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that. Again, following the various processes required to accomplish that.
Yeah. So. I think we have a map that we could probably pop up and show people exactly where that lands in the community. So that would be directly across from Furniture Row in that area, mm-hmm. north of Brookside Lane.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, on the east side.
Yeah. And for the community, the Highway 83 corridor, that's a growing commercial corridor for
mm-hmm.
us. That's a very important piece of our commercial development in Bismarck. It's oftentimes said, in particular by Brian Ritter from the Chamber EDC, when we have businesses looking to establish their presence in Bismarck, they're looking at the 3rd Street corridor or the Highway 83 corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3rd Street corridor, more or less, full. So
yeah.
A lot of attention is placed up on the North Highway 83 corridor.
Yes, and the purpose or the use of that, proposed use of that property is consistent with your master plan.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So that moved forward another step. Call for public hearing will be at your next meeting?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. Another item on your consent agenda that did get pulled off by Commissioner Zanker was the Friends of the Rail Bridge final report that came through, was submitted to the city, and he pulled it for discussion. There wasn't a lot of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to make a point that when you accept or the commission accepts a report, it does not necessarily mean that you're funding the project.
Yes,
and
that's,
he really wanted to make
correct.
That. Yeah,
he wanted to make that clear.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. So,
and with that report, I mean, it was just that a feasibility report based on the information presented in that report. It appears the project is feasible, but a number of challenges and issues that need to be addressed
mm-hmm.
regarding funding, ownership, future maintenance, and collaboration with the railroad. So,
again, assuming that the committee that's working on this is going to move it forward.
Yes.
It said final report, but it's just on the feasibility
correct.
Of the project
yes.
itself.
Mm-hmm.
I found it pretty interesting. It had the report is available on your, it was attached to your agenda,
yes,
so you
was.
Can find it
mm-hmm.
on your website. Also, the friendsoftherailbridge.org mm-hmm. has the report, or you can contact them for the report through their website.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. They showed some interesting options as far as layout,
right.
Identified partnerships, and again, mm-hmm. I think their work's cut out for them. It's commendable project, yes. but certainly a huge challenge. So
it is.
We haven't heard the end of it. I'm sure it's coming back in some way.
We have not. And, you know, of course, last night it was a city commission action item, but it also involves other entities, as the report describes,
right? Sure.
Whether it's park districts on either side of the river, the city of Mandan, Morton County. I mean, there's a number of potential stakeholders that will need to be continued to collaborate and cooperate.
Corps of Engineers, Burlington Northern,
yes,
important players in this as well. So, yeah, we'll probably be talking about it again. Moving on to the regular agenda last night, started with public testimony, or excuse me, the whole meeting now starts before the consent agenda with some public testimony, and we did have people that came in to comment last night. But moving into the regular agenda then, Commissioner Oban had his portfolio report. He kept it kind of brief. Mm-hmm. He moved through his portfolios pretty quickly, but I did want to talk about, Commissioner Oban is our liaison to the City Commission, so he sits on our board, and we were included in the portfolio report. Mm-hmm. Always want to give us a pat on the back and toot our own horn, but it was interesting, and we've got a couple photographs that Lloyd's got that he can pop up of our staff working at various on-location projects. But I think the biggest thing we want to announce, and he did last night, was we just launched a children's program called DMA Kids TV, and we're getting the content for that program from a variety of sources. So we're going over to the Kids Summer Stage that Dakota West Arts Council sponsors in the summer. The Urban Harvest has kids programming. Mm-hmm. Bismarck Public Library has kids programming, North Dakota Heritage Center. So we're going to a variety of places, gathering that up and putting it under that umbrella and showing that to people. It's really fun. It's really good stuff. We also went out to the zoo, and we've captured a lot of content from the zoo, animal education pieces. So they're working on those right now. We'll launch those out too. So you can find those on Community Access Channel 12 and 612 in HD, or online at freetv.org. So DMA Kids TV, it's super fun, really cute. And the fun thing is that they're local people and local children that are in these programs. So it's kind of neat. You can tune in and see the kids or the grandkids. So yeah, wanted to mention that. A big part of your meeting last night was the budget, the 2020 budget preview discussion.
Yes.
That took up the bulk of the meeting, I think, last night.
It did.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yes. A
lot of great discussion. And looking at our process when we are preparing our preliminary budget information, our city budget committee does a lot of work that all starts with department directors presenting their requests. They present to us their needs, and we take all that information, roll it up into the package that we shared last night. The attachment to that agenda item was every request from each department, so it showed whether they were requesting new employees, new equipment, new capital projects, just everything that was asked.
And I think that's an important distinction, that this was a preliminary budget that included all requests at this point in time.
Right.
Does not necessarily mean that all these pieces are going to be in the final budget.
No. And again, that's what we were looking for last night, was direction from the commission on what are your priorities, what should we be focusing on, so that we can then narrow the scope of our work as budget committee to come back with some recommendations that are palatable to not only the city commissioners, but hopefully to the residents of Bismarck.
Right. And understandably, a big part of that discussion, and it started, the discussion was talking about city staff, city employees, compensation, including wages and benefits. That was a pretty lengthy part of the discussion.
It was. And our employees are our very most important asset. Almost all of our work would not get done if it wasn't for our employees.
Of course,
you know, we have some processes that may be automated at our treatment plants, but beyond that, it takes employee power to push the button to get the work done. Yeah. So
absolutely.
And it's always been the priority of not only the city commission but of the budget committee to look at those needs first.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a big part of your budget.
It is.
You know, it's a big chunk of it.
Our expenses, personnel costs, are majority of our general fund expenditures.
Mm-hmm. So there was a discussion about wage increases and how the city is staying in step with a big study you did just a few years ago and a readjustment at that time. Mm-hmm. Are you staying in step with that? So there was that part of the discussion. There was also a big discussion on healthcare. and the benefit of health care to the employees.
Correct. Yeah. When we look at our total compensation package for our employees, we include both, you know, what they're getting paid and also those benefits.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't think we're any different than the private sector or other public entities. Healthcare costs are ever increasing, and that's a fact and figure we need to manage.
Yeah.
So a lot of discussion about that last night as to what options could be considered to manage that cost.
Yeah. And we talked earlier about the issue of that a lot of times the health insurance providers don't necessarily have those numbers projected for 2000 or the next coming year. So, you know, you're a little bit, you don't know exactly how it's going to come down.
We don't, you know, we're in the midst of, you know, this year we have some maybe current data, but we don't know the end result. So that's always a bit of a guessing game. But with the assistance we get from our actuaries from Blue Cross Blue Shield, we do a look back and use some historical trends to maybe try to anticipate what that future is. And again, there's also some of our medical costs. I mean, there's some, we see an ever increasing value there. Medical inflation, I guess let's call it. I mean, that continues to be a number that has been growing each year.
Yeah, we see that too. So the direction to your HR director, Bob McConnell, was to go back and get some more information for this commission. And I think we should mention too that the next meeting on the budget will be Wednesday, August 7th at 7:30 a.m.
Correct.
That will be the public meeting on the budget, so people can testify at that time. But let's go back to Bob McConnell. The direction to Bob was?
Right, to get some more detailed analysis on, in particular, our stop-loss insurance. So currently, we have we purchase insurance to cover any of our medical claims that exceed $50,000, and so there's a cost to that. There may be a higher level that we could factor in if we were to go to a $75,000 max claim. The insurance for that, for those claims above $75,000, may be less than what we currently are paying for the $50,000 stop loss.
Okay.
So we need to look at that number. Also, we need to look at what's trending with our medical claims. And again, based on medical inflation, we are seeing an uptick in the cost of those services. So we'd need to take a finer look at that to see if there would be some value in increasing what we might pay out of pocket, going from $50,000 to $75,000 per claim, and to see if there if that offset in that reduced premium for that insurance to cover those costs above $75,000 might offset that difference.
But
again,
it is all about the impact. What are these when you move something around? What is the impact and the total?
Right, and with all of this, we're sensitive to the impact not only to employees, you know, what they're having to pay. For their deductibles and coinsurance office visits, but also the impact to the mill levy and when we need to have extra revenue to cover these benefits.
So well, that's really the bottom line on this whole thing. I mean, as you go through the process and prioritize spending, what is the end result? What is the impact on the mill levy? What is the impact on the property owner really going to be?
With Commissioner Markwart's leadership during budget committee discussions, he said, you know, we need to have more input from the full commission before we would finalize any recommendations. And kudos to him. Last night, he led that discussion, provided various scenarios to the commission regarding whether it was salary adjustments, benefits, new employees, the capital projects. So all of those were laid out with the end or the bottom of that analysis showing here would be impact to mill levy, whether an increase or decrease. And so it was nice. We got some direction, nothing final. So we'll get back to work with the budget committee and try to tie this thing down for that August 7th meeting.
It's a lot of work to do. But I thought it was interesting, and it seemed like the commissioners were pretty consistent in their support of the salaries benefits to the staff.
Yes.
That was without question. But the point that kept coming up was basically retaining employees.
Yes.
I mean, we talk especially about fire and police work, which is very challenging. But when you have surrounding communities or communities within the state of North Dakota, and possibly beyond, that our compensation packages are higher, right. you're vulnerable to losing those employees.
We are.
Yeah.
And there was a period of time in the past where we were leading that effort, and we found ourselves at a point where things were at par. Now we're finding we're lagging.
You got to keep up.
We do. In order to get the most qualified, best employees, we really would like to be leading all of that, whether it's regarding salary, benefits, that total package.
Well, and we talked earlier. I mean, there's a cost to that turnover.
There is.
There really is. There is. I mean, it's commendable that there's support for the staff. I mean, these people are homeowners and family people in the community. We want to have that, but there's a very practical reason to retain employees. That turnover costs money.
It does.
It's training.
It does. Yep.
Vulnerability.
The investment in all the training.
Yeah.
The experience, and there are many things we do throughout the life cycle of our work areas, whether it's at our treatment plants for water and sanitary sewer, whether it's within the police department, patrol officers, investigations, firefighters. There's a number of things that takes time to learn.
Oh, yeah.
And we would like to keep those people here, and so that they are knowledgeable of all those unique things that are associated with Bismarck. We are, recently, again, given the focus on public safety and what's happening there, higher turnover is occurring. We are losing officers, firefighters to other communities within the state, where in the past we were getting employees from those areas,
sure.
and now we're losing them. And so it's concerning. It needs to be addressed if we can.
Sure. Yeah. It's like a drain. Got to plug that drain and retain the people. You mentioned earlier a call for projects, and this came out of the strategic plan that just was finalized and the report was submitted, where the city asked for call for projects, and a variety of projects came forward. They were also listed and talked about individually last night. Each one was talked about. Mm-hmm. Probably the most significant, financially certainly, but significant for the community is the homeless shelter proposed by the United Way and the funding that they need to move forward.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, based on the discussion last night, it appears that that's probably the highest priority for the city commission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were some comments made about, the investment, the return on that investment, what the future might look like, and even, some discussion on some other funding requests that might have to wait until we take care of the homeless shelter, the United Way call for project item. So that was, again, good direction. We needed to hear that so we can then work on that recommendation
and
develop, a recommendation of how we can fund that to move
a high priority.
Yes.
I mean, I think it was clear last night through the discussion that they felt that this was important. And again, the situation is costing the community money.
It
costs
is.
The city money now.
Right.
When that redirect that so there's more chance for success.
Right.
Cost savings in the long run, maybe even the short term, but it really does make sense. And there's been a lot of work involved in
this. Yes, there has been.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of collaboration over the last 2 years, many stakeholders, including our public health director, Renee Mock, other city staff, from police department, Chief Drevich, the stakeholders in the community, the social service providers.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to see that collaboration tighten and improve, and kudos to United Way stepping in and doing what they're doing currently, and also this plan for even improving that service to provide 24/7 shelter service.
They're moving forward,
I
mean, they've purchased the property down in South 12.
Yeah, my understanding, they are, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. A part of the call for projects, and somewhat related to the homeless shelter, Renee Mock, you mentioned, had submitted a program or a project concerning social detox.
Yes.
But we talked earlier, and you said that one is a little bit kind of a wait and see, depending upon the homeless shelter.
It is. The homeless shelter is kind of a first step in addressing the homeless issue in our community. We also have individuals who are involved in intoxication, and homelessness can be associated with those individuals too. So we at one point thought it was necessary to establish a standalone social detox facility to address that need. What we're learning from our peer communities, in particular Grand Forks and Fargo, is as other services come online, whether it's the permanent homeless shelter, whether it's additional services from the Department of Human Services, from other other stakeholders that provide social detox or other behavioral health services, as those things continue to ramp up, that particular need to have a standalone detox facility may be lessened. So Grand Forks in particular, they've seen the number of persons needing that service decline as additional, whether it's additional shelter services come online, additional housing, low barrier housing services come online. So they've seen a decline. So we're going to kind of watch and see as the homeless shelter gets up and running, and as additional human services get provided in our community. And kudos to Chris Jones and his staff at the state. They're making changes here, right here in our Bismarck area to help us. So a number of things could add up to really...
to a change to this structure.
Correct.
Okay, it's
a
little bit of a moving target there as well. So, okay, well, that's interesting. The other project that I wanted to... Well, all the call for projects were, again, detailed in the discussion.
Yes.
Where do they... I didn't necessarily hear a clear direction on all the remaining projects. Where do you think that's going to... what's going to happen
well,
there?
Well, there's a number of them that really are going to require additional facilitation, and it could very well be from city team, city staff, to... help develop RFPs for those various items.
Okay.
One in particular, the arts policy. You know, one of the first steps there is to issue an RFP for consultant services to help us develop that plan.
And okay.
So we can take that first step. We would get RFPs within the scope of the RFP. Could be some information about cost. And then that information could be considered for a future budget. Missouri Riverkeepers request. That's going to require some agreement from all of the stakeholders that were identified, whether it's Bismarck Mandan, Morton Burley, the Water Resource Boards, to all agree and say, yes, this is worthy. We're all going to join in. And then we take those next steps of RFP, determining costs, scope, and all of that. The Go Bismarck request, that was for financial support for a local foods coordinator. That one there really is contingent upon the other political subs in Bismarck to participate. So their ask was for Bismarck to be part of that, Parks to be
to
part of that,
that
school.
Cost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
waiting on their answers.
Yeah.
We'll move forward. I see the downtowners were added to the call for projects in the list too, and in particular talking about maintenance on the Chancellor Square greenery.
Yes.
Or lack of.
Right. So under the heading of commission special projects, we had not only the call for projects, but other projects that the commission would make decisions on. And, of course, the downtowners request was included. And there again, they had referenced some past cost information for that maintenance activity. Mm-hmm. We'll be working with our public works staff to get an update on that, to consider what that number may need to be. And again... Consider that in the overall budget recommendations.
Well, I think that most people would agree that they're not looking real good downtown. I mean, we've got a very healthy downtown, and certainly the downtowners are very active in events and keeping the community connected and people downtown. But when you look at the physical spaces, they're not the sharpest that they could look, and that's part of it.
Right.
Those big bunkers that have the vegetation, which were ripped out because they had overgrown. A lot of them had died.
Overgrown and died off.
But I think this is all part of a bigger conversation, really. I don't know that the whole maintenance issue of downtown really probably needs a little more exploration about have we grown to a critical size in our community where the management and the maintenance of our downtown may need a different structure.
Right.
So I look forward to that discussion. I think that we should all
we do too.
Be looking at that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So so back to the budget, or just wrapping up the budget, I think a couple things we want to say is that your funding sources are not sometimes all that flexible. That funding, there are a variety of sources, certainly property tax, sales tax, or the most local user fees, those kinds of things. But you have a variety of funding sources that come in for projects and for operations that are not always flexible to move around.
Right, right. Many of those, as you say, those revenue sources are dedicated. So an example, funding through federal aviation for airport projects, that can only be used for airport's needs. We can't take that money and spend it on streets or on water. And likewise, the fees we charge for water and sewer, the fees we charge for maintaining the streetlights, traffic signals, those are all dedicated to those services and those functions. In our general fund operations, which is the core government activity, whether it's public safety, administration, legal, community development, or engineering services, public health, we're dependent upon revenue from property tax assessments, but also we have some fees and charges, whether it's for building permits, or fines and fees for traffic violations. That all gets rolled into that general government revenue. Also, we have some share of state aid. So there's a portion of the state income tax, or excuse me, sales tax that is shared back through us from that 5% state sales tax. Okay. We get a portion of that. And then locally, we have our 1.5 cent sales tax. The new half cent portion is dedicated to arterial roadway projects, on a specific list, so we can't move that money around.
So
there are some restrictions on how we can spend that
money. Absolutely, and I think that just is important to note, because it's sometimes not as flexible as you would think it would be. And I think that we should also mention that the budget is available. Even the preliminary budget, this is not final. It was an attachment on the agenda that was posted. That's on your website as well. So people can take a look at that as the preliminary budget. Again, August 7th is the public hearing. So if people want to talk about the budget or make a comment, that would be the time to do that. I also think it's really important to mention that your property taxes are not just affected by the city government and the budget that you establish for the next year. This has to do with the county, school board, and park district, and they're all in the process of developing their budgets as well.
Yes.
So if people need information, they go on their websites or ask questions, give a call. The information is out there. So, but I think that what we've heard so far is that it's a challenging year.
It is.
Growth in Bismarck has not been typical.
It is. So, given there is a bit of a lag in what we see in residential valuations, commercial development, before we actually see that revenue hitting our books. So we're dealing with more or less flat residential valuations. We have had a slight uptick in commercial development. Looking forward, it appears those numbers may have an opportunity to be better in the next coming year. But again, we won't see the results of that until
the
later.
Next cycle.
So it's right now challenging to add without any consideration for a mill levy adjustment.
I think that's what we're seeing with the other, at least the county has had that discussion as well.
Correct.
So, so we will talk about that. And again, August 7th is the public hearing for the budget. So more information to come. Moving off that, just a couple quick things. A public hearing on a liquor license last night. There was no comment. Country House Deli now has a full license that was granted. Also some public hearings on new political subdivisions being established. And the first one we want to talk about is Boulder Ridge. That's the only one that really had any public testimony. I think we heard that same testimony at the Planning and Zoning Commission. That came back again last night. It did go through as presented, but there was some concern by adjacent property owners of single-family homes. Primarily, they were objecting to twin homes running up the backside of their properties.
You know, expressing concerns about you know, previous information that may have been shared indicating the development would be the same as theirs, the same zoning as R5. Developer has changed it to R10, which allowed then the construction of the twin homes, which in essence created additional backyards. It isn't going to necessarily create additional structures because the twin home itself is one structure, and then they share a common wall, which is the dividing line between the lots. But again, there was that concern of what persons thought their backyard neighbors might look like versus what they might look like now when the twin homes are constructed.
Yeah, this issue of twin homes up against single family homes seems to be resurfacing a few times in the last few months. We've seen it with the Clear Sky discussion and also up in the Northeast Quadrant. I can't recall the name of that.
Silver Ranch.
Yes. That same issue popped up again. So I think this is potentially a reoccurring issue.
Yeah. And we will see, you know, as an example in Clear Sky, the developer did do some work to have some of those lots be deeper, so there was a little more separation between the different types of homes, added some additional buffering of trees. So we see that happen. I did note last night after the public hearing and commission decision, a couple of the neighbors that did present their concerns were following up, talking with the developer and the developer's engineer. So, you know, maybe there's some additional agreement to how they might accommodate that change.
And to your point, I think that was a point that Commissioner Guy made last night as well, is that she's seen this resurface, and at least in the Clear Sky situation, saw the developer make those accommodations for those single family homes, but again, deeper lot, buffering of landscaping, that type of thing.
And currently our zoning ordinance, when you transition from R5 to R10, does not require any of those buffer elements. So it doesn't require fencing or trees or berms. So
because they're both considered low density.
Correct.
Okay.
So by law, the commission couldn't say, wait a minute, this doesn't meet our ordinance. It did. So
it moved through.
Yep.
A couple other subdivisions. Mayor subdivision moved forward, and that's down by the river, down northwest. Bismarck.
Right, outside of the corporate limits, but within our ETA.
Okay, and you said that there was some concerns initially about access.
Right, the township had initially expressed concern about how the property would be accessed. That was addressed by the property owner, and the township then concurred with the plan and then went through.
So they resolved that issue. Again, this was approved last night. This is the mayor subdivision down by the river, west of River Road down there. So Camrose Crossing was another development that was approved last night.
Right. And from what was shared with us, the developer's original intent on the design of the homes, and I believe they were going to be row houses, just wasn't working well for them. So they did a redesign and to then get approval to do a different style of home.
And this is down in South Bismarck.
Right. It's an area, I believe it's east of Washington Street, north of Burley Avenue.
Okay. All right. Well, lots of development. Again, indicating some growth here.
It is.
Catch up. Yeah. The last thing on the agenda, or one of the last things, one of the final things that people might be interested in is a change to the criminal and traffic fine ordinance that came forward. And this was a result of legislative action this last year with the state of North Dakota.
Yes. Yeah. Very pleased to be at this point. There was a lot of testimony, a lot of work done during the last session with our law enforcement officials, Chief Dravich, and also other law enforcement officials across the state to try to address, you know, the primary concern was red light violations, red light runners, and speeding, and associating those situations with the costs of injury, death that are associated when those things happen. Mm-hmm. So throughout the legislative session, and there was a desire to try to get the fee for running a red light up to $100. A lot of concern expressed by legislators, but in the end, we had a couple of our local legislators, in particular Senator Oban, that really carried the water and did the heavy lifting to allow us to make a doubling or 100% increase in those local fees. So an example is prior to last night, the fee for running a red light in Bismarck was $20. Now today it is $40.
Which is still not a huge amount of money for that.
It's not, but hopefully it'll help in deterring that driving behavior.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't about creating revenue. It's about changing driving behavior mm-hmm. and driving mm-hmm. habits.
It's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might not be the $100 fine, but it seems like it's workable. One of the criminal offenses, driving without liability insurance, was allowed. That offense was allowed to. The fine was allowed
no,
to.
Yep, no
to
change
go up,
there.
But your city attorney did not support
correct.
That.
Correct. Yep. Okay. Yep. The thought there was that, you know, those persons who don't have that insurance, we'd rather have them take that money and buy insurance versus mm-hmm. paying the fee.
Yeah.
So it's so kind of counterproductive.
Yeah. When do the fines go into place?
So they would be effective today. So with the passing of the ordinance last night.
Signatures were made and here we go.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. No more $20 fines for speeding or, well, speeding is a little different, but running red light.
There's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But everything doubled as far as traffic violations. So great. We went a little long today, and that's understandable because you went a little long last night.
A lot of work last night. It was good. Necessary.
Yeah. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Usually Jason
Pleasure.
Timonic is here sitting in this seat. So we like to have you here too.
Tough to meet that standard. Before I walked over, I had mentioned to her admin team, so I'm going to try to do my best impersonation of Jason Timonic. I don't know whether that happened or not, but
you did great.
Did my best.
Good information, and that's what we need. So thank you so much, Keith, for
you're
coming
welcome.
In. All right,
thank you.
Take care. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.